It's 12 minutes to 8 on Breakfast, and Michelle Grattan joins us now in our Parliament House studios. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Let's just deal first with this pretty public brawl now going on inside the Greens. It's not new in a sense that the New South Wales Greens were always reluctant starters in the National Greens, so there's always been a little bit of tension within this party. But criticisms that they're not getting their message out, which despite her denial, I think do come close to criticism of the leader's performance. What do you think of that? Are they valid?
I think that within the Greens, there's been a lot of division about the leadership style. You'll remember under Kristyn Milne, people were critical. Now, with a more pragmatic style from Richard Di Natale, there are critics as well. He's cut deals on some occasions with the government, and he has, as you said, attempted to broaden the party or the party's pitch to the electorate. Fundamentally, the issue is that the Greens are having trouble holding their vote and their representation. They went backwards in the Senate primarily because of the double dissolution. And while there was a lot of hype before the election about how well they might do, they did not manage to secure any extra lower house seats. They're polling quite strongly in certain areas in the lower house, but it hasn't translated to seats. So they are somewhat stalled, and I think this reinforces the criticism internally.
Yeah, mind you, they're big hurdles to get across, those lower house seats.
Oh, indeed.
They certainly put a fright into Anthony Albanese.
And some in Labor believe that next time round, the Greens will secure some extra seats.
Yeah, particularly in Melbourne, perhaps, too.
That's right.
Michelle, Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce, he's certainly not invisible at the moment, nor is he holding back on perhaps some of his more conservative views. Can we use that word? This is what Barnaby Joyce had to say yesterday on Australia Day about those Australians who were protesting and advocating for changing the day.
I just get sick of these people who every time there's something on, they want to make you feel guilty about it.
Yeah,
they want to tell you you're evil. You know, they don't like Christmas. They don't like Australia Day. They're just miserable, gutted people. We should crawl under a rock and hide for a little bit.
So that was Barnaby Joyce yesterday. It follows his comments on RN Drive early in the week, where he was pretty dismissive of Sydney's housing affordability crisis. Now he's telling people he just wish they'd crawl under a rock. Is just a turn of phrase, I know, but is he being deliberately antagonising, or is he just saying what he really thinks?
I think basically he's saying what he really thinks. He's somewhat off the leash at the moment.
And is this deliberate because, of course, of what we're describing broadly as the Trump effect, or could be in Australia the One Nation effect?
I think that the Nationals are aware that the Barnaby approach does appeal to many of the disillusioned regional voters, the sort of people who go for One Nation. But more to the point, I think he is driven by just being Barnaby. Mm. However, I think that he does need to rein in the language, to think more before he speaks. And on the question of the Australia Day, this is obviously a debate within the community, a legitimate debate, and whichever side one is on, I think that it's wise to see it in those terms and not to just dismiss people who happen to have a different view.
And Michelle, a huge week in terms of global politics. Donald Trump's rolling out executive orders and winding back long-held US policy with an immediate potential impact for Australia on three key fronts: on trade, with the pulling out of the TPP, on the deal for those people in detention on Nauru and Manus, or people on Nauru and Manus Island, and on China's relationships with China, given the bullish talk from the US on the South China Sea. So immediate challenges for Malcolm Turnbull. What do you think of his response, the way he's managed this so far?
I thought his response on trade was a strong one and a good one. He made it clear that Australia's interests lie in promoting free trade, that we're a trading nation even more than the United States, and that our interests can diverge or are diverging at the moment. Now, many people say that his pursuit of TPP, even without the United States, is a futile one, and Bill Shorten says basically we should just move on. But nevertheless, I think it's worth having a go, even if it it can't be achieved. But the more important point is that he is articulating what's in Australia's interests. On the question of the refugee deal, this seems to be very much doubt, well, at least
in flux,
in question, although the government says that it's confident it will go ahead, but we can't be sure of that.
All right, Michelle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Michelle Grattan, Chief Political Correspondent with The Conversation and Professoral Fellow at Canberra University. And speaking of Donald Trump and American policies, in breaking news, multiple sources have told CNN and AP News Service, multiple sources aboard Air Force One are reporting that White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer has told reporters that Donald Trump will impose a 20% border tax on imports from Mexico in order to pay for the border wall. So he said Mexico will pay for it. The Mexican president says we're not paying for it. Looks like Donald Trump might have a plan in mind to slap a 20% tax on imports in order to pay for the wall. Them's fighting words. It's 6 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.